the grapevine.
Well, hi, come on over.
I've heard through the grapevine today that one of our kids got a gold at World Quizzing, but I haven't heard about the other two. That is a good song. Come on over and let's sit over here. We'll all sit together here. Have a seat. Glad to have all of you guys here today. This is awesome. Well, in Sunday school opening this morning, we talked about a scripture verse that I'm going to read again because some of you weren't there. And it comes from 1 Corinthians 13, and it says that bad company corrupts good character. And that's a really big verse and really big words. And we talked this morning about what that means. Do you remember, Avery, what that means? Do you? Can you tell me? I didn't think so. Yes?
It means that we need to stay away from things that can take us away from God.
Very good. That is exactly right. And do you remember what song we sang? Autumn, do you remember what song we sang? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what we see, and be careful, little ears, what we hear. Be careful, little tongue, what we say. What else? Be careful, little feet, where we go. And be careful, little hands, what we do. Yes, and we talked about how all of those things that can change the way we are, right? Do you remember that? And the more that we're around things, the more they change us. So we want to be careful about the things that we're around. Now, I have something over here to show you, if I can do it carefully. Did you know that if you put celery, what color is celery?
Green.
That's right. Did you know that if you put celery in colored water, that it will turn the color of the water? Did you know that? I have to be really careful so I don't spill this. And the longer that it's in the colored water, the more it turns that. You see those leaves? And you can see right up the back here? What color is that turning?
Blue.
Blue. You see that? Does your celery at home look like that?
No.
No, it doesn't. Now we're going to do something again here. Let's see. So I don't drip. Now we're going to very carefully... Do you see inside there? Do you see inside that? Do you see how the blue goes right through there? The longer that celery, see right here, all those little colors? The longer that celery is in the colored water, the more that color becomes part of the celery. Is that a cool thing or what? And that's just like us. The more we are around things and the more that we listen to them and see them, the more they become a part of us. So if we want to be more like Jesus, that's our theme this year, being the aroma of Christ. If we want to be more like Jesus, what kinds of things do we want to see or hear or do, or places do we want to go? What do you think? What do you think? Abby, do you have one? No? Do we want to read?
We want to read like the Bible and stuff like that.
That's right, the Bible, Bible stories. What kind of places do we want to go?
This.
Church? We want to go to church. We want to be around people who are Christians, people who help lift us up and help us to come closer to Christ, people who teach us, maybe our Sunday school teachers. Do we want to listen to them? Yeah, yeah. Because we want to choose who we want to be like. And if we want to be like the bullies at school, we can choose to be like them and we can hang around them. Or if we want to be one of those kids who are always in trouble with mom and dad because we say no, we can be around kids like that. But we want to choose to be around things that help us be like Jesus so that we can grow up to be more like him. And the more we do that, the more we become like him, just like blue celery. All right. All right. please, dear Jesus, help us to learn this lesson and to know who it is that we follow. Give us the wisdom to know what things to do, what things to see, what things to listen to, so we can become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today I get to do the mission moment, and I'm so excited. I don't get to do this very often. You know, sometimes I've been a Nazarene all my life. I think I was born in the church and raised on a pew. And so sometimes when they're talking about different missionary things, it's like, yeah, I've heard this for 55 years, and I don't really pay attention. But this week I learned something new, and so I want to share it with you. This month, I can tell you that this thing that I'm doing here in my hand, it's easier than it looks. I'm just not very coordinated. This month we're talking about, or our emphasis for missions is World Mission Broadcast. And, you know, they've had the radio programs that have been broadcast to all the in all the different languages and all the different places, and that's great. And I know you've heard about it for years and years and years, and so there's not really anything I can tell you except World Mission Broadcast. But something new. They've started this new program, and I don't know how old it is, but I just found out about it, called the Backpack Radio Stations. And I'm going to have to read a little about it to you because I am so non-technical. In these backpacks, there is a MacBook laptop, and on it, it has Pro Tools audio editing software, hardware interface. There's a microphone and headphones. And you hook it, it has the cables and the accessories needed to hook it to a car battery. And with this backpack, they can broadcast from pretty much anywhere. So, for instance, in the country of India, they set up broadcast stations that go to the countries that get right on the border of India and then broadcast into the countries where Christians are not allowed. And so it's a great way for the message of Christ to go into areas that are otherwise not permitted. And then in places like South Africa, it's very expensive to have a radio station, to have an actual physical building. And so there, they can broadcast from their living rooms. They don't have to pay rent on a building. They don't have to hire people to do all of the technology stuff. It's all done by one person out of a backpack. Saves a lot of money, and it gets the message of God out to many, many places. These backpacks only cost $1,300, and that's part of where our money goes when we have faith promise. Part of it goes to World Mission Broadcast, which puts the gospel of Christ out to all of these places. So this month, since that's our emphasis, out on the table, there's going to be these little cards, and you can put together this little tower much better than I have done. Set it on your desk at work, on your dresser at home, someplace where you'll remember to pray for the World Mission Broadcast. And think about all those people who are getting the message of Christ, not from the privilege of going to a building like we do, but from their little radios that they have hidden in their bedrooms just to listen to the gospel.
All right, well, thank you, Miss Vicki, on that. Well, with Pastor Dawn being away this morning, I get to do the offering time. And when I was growing up in church, we always stood for our offertory prayer. And I didn't know if that was just because we were praying or if it was because it's easier to get to your wallet when you're standing up. So we're going to have our ushers come, and if you would, go ahead and stand on up, and we will collect our morning tithes and offering this morning. I like that. I like that. Brother John, why don't you come and grab the microphone and lead us in our offertory prayer this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege and your presence being here. Thank you for this opportunity to return unto you what you have blessed each one of us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's always such a privilege and an honor to have Jeff here playing with us. Very, very talented and very, very blessed by the Lord. So join us with worship now.
The splendor of the King, holding majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And oh, see how great! How great is our God! And time is in his hands, beginning and end. The God of creation, Father, Spirit, Son, the light and the light. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God!
stars. I hear the rolling thunder. My power throughout the universe is great. In sacrifice for my Savior God to me, how great the Lord, how great the Lord. In sacrifice my soul, my Savior God to me, how great the Lord.
Now to a time of prayer, we want to remember the General Assembly that's currently being held in Indianapolis, Indiana. As you know, Pastor Gary and his wife are there, and Pastor Don and his wife, and I understand we have three of the children who are participating in the quiz competition, MJ and Jonathan and Jacqueline. Want to remember all of them and their families in our prayers as well. As we pray this morning, you have printed in your bulletin a list of prayer concerns, and we will pray for each one of those individuals by name. There have been no other prayer requests passed on to me, but if you have some, we certainly would include them as well.
let's worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Just a sheep of His hand.
Would you stand and let's sing that one more time?
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Let us pray. Almighty and wonderful God, we praise Your holy name. What a joy it is to be in Your house this day, to sing praises to Your holy name. We've been blessed this morning by the music, by the organ, by the drums, by the saxophone, by the voices lifted in praise. Oh yes, we are having a great time in the Lord. Thank You for being with us. We believe in You, and we believe very much in the power of prayer. We believe that You care about each and every one of us as if there were only one of us. When we pray for those in need, we are confident that You hear our prayers. And even more than that, we are confident that You can heal, that You can provide whatever is needed. This morning, we think about all those people of Yours that have gathered in Indianapolis for this great conference. We pray for Pastor Gary and Jennifer, for Pastor Don and Ruth, for the children, for MJ and Jonathan and Jacqueline, and for their families. We pray that our representatives and the representatives from all over will find refreshment and revival and come back ready to share with us and to inspire us as we attempt to be of service to You. This morning, we also lift in prayer Juanita Brandstein. It's good to see Sister Juanita with us here this morning. We continue to lift her in prayer. Paula Beechler's co-worker in the loss of her husband. There are those in our midst who are seeking employment. We pray that You might aid them in their search. We pray for Sue and for Max, the Arnold household, and their particular health concerns. We pray for Barbara Giddens as she recovers from cancer surgery. We pray for Tanya Willoughby, who also is dealing with cancer. For Danny Cutbirth, as he recovers from a recent accident. For Elaine Kuntz, that the chemotherapy she's receiving might work. We pray for Joanna Wood as she rehabs at home. For Herschel Henry, for his health. I pray even for myself. And I give you praise for your healing touch that has been upon me. I pray for Lane Mendenhall and his family following the cancer treatments he's received recently. For Chris Downing's parents and their health issues. For David Wilson, his bone growth. For Peg Overholt's son, his health. For Mindy Caldwell's neighbor Michelle as they contemplate adoption. For Ed Gill as he recovers from cancer. For Lance Carlson and ALS. For Valerie Fiesta's cousin Byron and his health. For Sean Carey's health. For Jose Matos in need of a kidney transplant. For Mark Faulkner's friend Bruce McLeod and his health. For Debbie Brandstetter's mother's health. For Shirley Carter's health. For Brandon Wood and his cancer surgery. For Karma Smith as she deals with colon cancer. For Bert Mills, her great niece Mandy and her sister Emma, many health concerns. For Roger Mills and his health. For Patty Rowland's sister as they deal with Alzheimer's. For the health issues of the Charles Hopper family. For the cancer surgery recovery of Dick Roberts. For Scott Kilstonk and his blood disease. For Robert Pickle, who runs the rehab house for teens. For Richard Martin and his cancer. For Gary Richards as he recovers from an accident. And for Carrie Blansett, recovering from a coma. We also would lift up the Scott Dooley family as they continue to minister in Papua New Guinea. We lift up Victory Mission and the least of these local ministries who provide food and finances for people in need. We pray for those from our congregation that are serving in the military, for Zach, for TJ, and for Steve. And we pray for our leaders on all levels, local, state, and national, that they would seek your guidance. We need worse than anything your guidance, your leadership. And we pray for our leaders that they would certainly turn to you. For with you, all things are possible. Thank you this morning for hearing our prayer. In the precious name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
The Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, not because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, awaiting. lost in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calms the sea would call out through the rain and calm a storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? 'Cause I am yours. I am
yours. Thank you, Rhonda. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. We are His. Steve's back there in the sound booth this morning, and when he was giving me this lapel mic to put on, I was having trouble with it, so if I knock it off, don't be too surprised. But anyway, he said he was going to make me sound good, and I said, well, you've really got your work cut out for you. It is a joy to be with you today. You all have been great people during the time that my wife and I have known you, and we appreciate your love and your support, and especially your prayers. I have not been in the hospital now since the early days of May, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. I'm rejoicing. Last September, I had never been a patient in a hospital in my life. But since September, I've been there 5 times for prolonged stays. But God is healing me, and I give Him the praise and the glory. And it's always a real joy to be able to share the gospel. I'm going to take a text today from Mark chapter 4 and verses 26 through 33. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. May God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. In the little church in which I grew up, and in the churches I pastored, we prayed in almost every service that perfect prayer Jesus taught his disciples. I invite you to join me now in praying the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now there are slightly different versions of that prayer, but there are parts of it that are all always exactly alike. We just said, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." How many times have we prayed that and never give it much thought? How would you describe the kingdom of God? Many of us, as children and perhaps even as adults, think of the kingdom as way up there in the clouds. We think of the kingdom as being all clean and white and as a place where God sits on some kind of elaborate throne. And that is a wonderful vision. But I believe that the kingdom of God is right here in this room. Now, some of you may say, "Where? I don't see it." I believe Randy has gone loco. I just ask that you don't pass judgment on me too quick. Now, I know at times I can be slightly off the rails, but I remind you that to the people of his day, Jesus, my Lord, proclaimed earlier in this gospel according to Mark in chapter 1 and verse 14. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, how do you suppose that the people responded to his announcement? They probably thought he'd gone loco too. Can't you just hear him? Are you sure? Here? Where? Jesus taught. Jesus preached. Jesus healed. And people were astonished. But when he talked about the kingdom of God, the reaction was one of doubt. What was at hand was certainly much different than what they had expected. Instead of a pure community of believers, Jesus received sinners and tax collectors into his presence and violated many of the Jewish laws. And the Pharisees charged, his talk about the kingdom of God is blasphemous. How dare he talk about the kingdom coming near, about the kingdom being at hand. And they plotted to destroy him. And instead of overthrowing the oppressive Roman government, Jesus gave no sign of displaying force. To some of the disciples, it appeared that they would just continue suffering under Roman rule. And even they thought, I'm sure, what kind of kingdom is this if it doesn't change our situation? Instead of having a powerful army with wealth, with training, with the very best of equipment, there was only a carpenter with nothing to his name. He and his ragtag followers and his talk about the kingdom of God were laughed at by the Roman government. Does this sound familiar? He persisted. He persisted with his message. The kingdom of God is at hand. But the people were outraged. They were frustrated. They were impatient. And they snickered. Oh, where indeed is this kingdom of God? Admittedly, it seems crazy that the kingdom of God would begin with a simple announcement by a penniless carpenter with some ragtag followers, some sinners, and some tax collectors. But friends, it did. It seems crazy that the kingdom of God would begin with no army, no force, no financial stockpile. But it did. And it seems crazy that the kingdom of God is present right here in this room. But it is. It is. The kingdom of God is indeed at hand. We have a contrast between a heavenly vision of glory and a normal Sunday morning. A contrast between earthly expectations of a kingdom and its godly reality. And most importantly, a contrast between an insignificant beginning and the final glory. Jesus knew how to get people's interest. He knew how to keep their attention. He was not long-winded. He kept it short and to the point. He spoke in parables. A parable is a comparison. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus contrasted the tiny mustard seed with the large bush into which it grows. On one hand, the seed and the bush are much different from each other in appearance. But on the other hand, they are still very much the same. Inherent in the seed is the bush, and essential to the bush is the seed. The infinitely great is already active in the infinitely small. And as such, so is the kingdom of God. We who have responded to the call of Christ, "Follow me," are part of the kingdom. He can take our small faith and grow us. He is the God of growth. Now, I confess that I don't understand why there are ever empty pews at a Sunday morning worship service. And furthermore, I confess that I am continually frustrated by the fact that there are. Don't people love the Word? Don't they love the living Word? Don't they love the kingdom? Have you ever been impatient or doubting or frustrated about how God is involved in our lives and with this world? Sometimes when things just don't seem to change very quickly, sometimes when it seems that evil has more sway than good, we need, and yours truly included, to remember the mustard seed. It is an encouraging word. It reminds us that tiny, mighty mustard seed, when we are concerned, frustrated, or even depressed by small beginnings, by what too often appears to be an insignificant enterprise to which we have committed life and resources, to take heart. The vision of the end, the greatest of all shrubs, should inspire us and say to us that the end as well as the beginning are God's doing and not our own. The kingdom of God is still at hand. It is here. Now, it might be invisible to the eye, but it is still present in all its glory. Amen. Now, you and I need, and maybe especially me, to hear and to really hear this parable of the mustard seed and relax. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. And yet when it is sown, it grows up and it becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." God is at work. knows the time. He knows what is needed, and He provides it. Let's backtrack momentarily to the parable, the first one we read, where the farmer sows the seed. We were told that he sleeps, and then he wakes night and day. Doesn't seem to be anxious. He doesn't try to force or to coerce the growth. He is patient. He knows that the glory of the harvest is in those tiny seeds, and that God is responsible for bringing it forth. The seed sprouts and grows, and eventually comes the harvest. The seed was good, and God was faithful. Friends, the kingdom of God is at hand. Where is the kingdom? Well, if I'm going to continue preaching, I have to believe it's here, right here among us and in us. When we love each other, when we forgive each other, when we help each other, when we pray for and with each other, when we trust God, there is the kingdom. Amen. The tiny, mighty mustard seed, even for those of us who turn up our noses and avoid mustard, is food for the soul. The tiny, mighty mustard seed gives us reason to celebrate. God is at work, even in the smallest of words, the smallest of gestures, the smallest of thoughts, and the smallest of deeds. And on those occasions, when life seems out of control, such as in these turbulent times of 2013, may we remember the mustard seed and relax. God is at work bringing forth the harvest out of the most insignificant beginnings, invisible to the human eye. God creates His mighty kingdom. I'm going to ask that Janet come. And as she comes, I invite you to turn to page 148 in the hymnal. And as we stand and sing, I want you to know this, that you can be a part of that kingdom. You can be a kingdom builder. And I pray for you to respond to God's work in you, that you might give your life to His Son and His kingdom. Allow Him to grow faith in you so that, like the tiny, mighty mustard seed, wonderful things may develop. Let us sing. The altars of the church are open.
Thank you.
please turn to 125 and join me in praying this prayer that comes to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power. Our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen. Pastor Jill is going to come now and conclude this service of worship.
We just want to remind you of our dog's luncheon now. We invite all of our guests to stay and join us. We have a host couple, Steve and Paula Beechler. Steve is back in the sound booth here that will go at the front of the line if guests would follow them. And they'll help you through that. And then we also celebrate birthdays and anniversaries for the month of June. I see Jennifer Raper here, Matt Allen, Annabelle Shelton, John Rogers, Troy Brooks, Alex Fiesseth. They all had their birthdays this month. Also anniversaries, Don and Juanita Brandstein and Steve and Paula Beechler. They're invited to go after the guests through that line. And then I would ask Brother Troy, would you pray for us and conclude the service? Pray for blessing on the food as well.